James Gillen with BBS Radio, also live broadcasting on eSETI's Stargate. And I have quite the crew here. I've got Peter Maxwell Slattery here. We've got Ben and Rob from Edge of Wonder, and John Vivanco, remote viewer, expertise unsurpassed in the remote viewing section. And we've had quite an event here. And I want each person to kind of talk about their take, but we just went on like an Illuminati tour. And I think Peter can talk more about that. But the stuff that we saw was just, you know, we saw fountains with all these like naked kids with reptiles spitting water up at them. You know, all the symbolism is just unbelievable that we're seeing here. So I'm going to turn it over to Peter a little bit, and you can talk about some of the places that we went to and some of the things that we're seeing, you know, the gargoyle statues.
So I know that, of course, the Edge Boys and you know, I guess everyone here would know a little bit more about what I was actually showing. I knew that there was something to it, but just starting basically at Federation Square, going up to where the second Parliament House is, that sort of area, through to the first Parliament House in Australia, there is a lot of symbolism, Illuminati symbolism throughout the Melbourne city. A lot of people say that it's probably got the most on earth. I don't know, but there is a heap of it throughout Melbourne city, and that's where the first Parliament House was, which I think was in 1901 that was established, and then that was turned into an exhibition building. From there we actually went to RMIT, and what happened was when the Parliament House was shut down, that building, the exhibition building, was sort of in charge of showcasing the latest technologies and information, and they sort of decided whether it was what and what was not revealed to the Australian public connected with that building at RMIT now, which I think was something else back then, but it was still connected with that whole thing that I was just speaking about. So there were some spots that we went where we couldn't show the full symbolism because there was, I guess, renovations being done and things of that nature. But there is a huge connection with, we could say, an Illuminati faction going back to the Melbourne Club or the Melbourne 500 Club back some years, which I think is under a different name now, like they keep changing it. But, you know, as well, you guys got to see a bit of the city. So, you know, you got to see a bit of Melbourne. You've been here for 3 months and lived with me for 3 months here before. But how'd you guys enjoy the tour of the city anyway?
Oh, it was really cool. I mean, aside from all the Illuminati symbolism, and because we've been getting, people have been telling us like how crazy it is here with all the symbolism and everything, but the city is a beautiful city. I mean, I was really surprised by how clean it was, and you know, everyone seemed pretty friendly overall in like a big city like that, and just pretty cool in, from that aspect. But do you guys want to say anything more? And
it was pretty wild. I mean, I was surprised at all the Illuminati iconography. I mean, wow, like why? I mean, why?
That's the next question.
You know? Well, I mean, so aside from that, I really wanted to go see the Mad Max, where they filmed Mad Max.
We saw it from the bridge on the West Coast on the way back. The first Mad Max.
Which is interesting, too, because, I mean, that's like post-apocalypse.
Yeah.
Illuminati doings, right? You know, feeding the future.
What better place to shoot Mad Max than Australia? Terrain in Australia.
Yeah.
But yeah, the symbolism was pretty surprising, not just because of how much symbolism, but how close it is to one another. Like that kind of route you took us on, there was so much. You know, as soon as we started, right away, you know, there was the Masonic. I don't know if that was a building. It was the Mason building.
That's the first one that we saw. With the Mason. And then there was another one next to that. What was that called?
There was the Collins Street.
Yeah, the Collins Street one as well.
And there was like so much. I'm like, oh yeah. And then we saw the Cavendish.
So what ended up happening was it was the Mason building first, and then there was the theater that had these jackals with the wings that could have been dragon wings or whatever. Then right next to that was the 33 building with the Craven.
The Cavendish.
Cavendish. Which is, you know, a big Illuminati name.
So, I mean, it's like unofficially one of the 13 bloodlines. So like Kennedy.
Yeah.
Cavendish, or I mean, sorry, Kathleen Cavendish, she married a Kennedy, Kathleen Kennedy. I'm not trying to say anything negative about her. I'm just saying the name itself is connected. A lot of the Cavendishes have married the Kennedys or Onassis and vice versa.
But Kathleen Kennedy is the one that ruined Star Wars, right? So I think you can say
something. Yeah, okay. In that aspect,
she destroyed my life. But aside from that,
right? Yeah.
So anyway, that whole thing was adjacent to Collins Street, right? And then as you're walking down Collins Street, there's all of this stuff. You get to the end of the Collins Street, and it's the first Parliament, and it's the intersection of Collins and Spring. And Spring is one of the Illuminati bloodline names. Yeah. I mean, there are many of them. Like, you know, I think we've got up to somewhere like 24 or 30 heavy hitter names now. But
well, the pine cone is the symbol of the pineal gland.
Right, yeah.
That was like everywhere on the buildings. And then a lot of gargoyles, a lot of Knights Templar stuff.
Yes,
with the cross, the Red Cross, and
well, and the British Royal Windsor family.
Splatters
out, of course, with, you know, obviously Australia.
And when you're there, it goes like King, Queen, Elizabeth Street, or King William and the Queen Elizabeth, like the streets are named after them as well. If you go... So when you go in Collins, and like there's Russell down the other end, they're different names.
Illuminati.
But when you go back the other way, it goes for the King and Queen's name. So it's all structured in that grid. If you get a map out and actually look at the names, the grid of the CBD, it's all that. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's pretty trippy.
Unofficially, kind of like unofficially, it seems that from what we're being told by a lot of people in Australia, like, New Zealand and Australia is kind of like the unofficial headquarters of the Illuminati.
Well, especially
so using this area for something.
100%. And what got me years ago, like coming out about this and then sort of getting my red pill into these different aspects, is like, I wish I could take you there, but Australia's Parliament House in Canberra, which is a few hours inland, that's actually meant to be like the world headquarters for, I guess, you know, like the New World Order. And most of it's underground. It's set up very well. If you go to fly over Canberra, the Parliament House, and you don't enter a four-digit code within a certain amount of time, the ground air missiles will shoot you out of the sky as well. So it's really set up for security structure. And that brings up a lot of questions, you know, through later things like how could 9/11 and the Pentagon and all these things happen if Australia's got it. Of course America would have that with certain areas as well.
Of course, yeah.
So there's a lot of security, but that's what you said about Canberra's Parliament House. I can't prove it. It's just, you know, letting you know that that's sort of another thing to sort of spin in there as well, because it does seem that there is a huge presence here, and it keeps coming back to a lot of people saying this sort of cycle of civilization started here and that it will... It'll sort of end here going into the next cycle, whether or not that's true, I don't know, but...
I think one thing we have to realize, too, is that, you know, for the people that aren't into all this conspiracy stuff, is that Epstein didn't kill himself. Just had a slide up there.
That's cool. That's cool.
And, you know, one of the other things that happened... We were walking down this area, and then James, you said something to me about just a random comment about ghosts or something, or like
that building had.
Him and John and I were having this conversation, and then Rob was there too, about just different kinds of remote viewing stuff, and then all of a sudden, I got hit really hard with this like kind of weird dark energy. And then
it was shocking.
Yeah,
it was,
and like then immediately shock. I was like, what was that? And then you felt it immediately too. Yeah. And then Rob came over and all of us were like, what is going on? And then there's this building right in front of us. And then as we were looking at it, it was just this really dark.
It looked like something out of a witch movie or something.
It really did. Yeah, something
really
like,
old,
like Harry Potter.
Really
that was
MIT.
That was the MIT building.
And that's why you guys
are
spinning out when I'm like, this is the building I want to show you, but I can't show you the front. So like, that's where I was going to take you. Yeah. And I was sort of a bit ahead of you. But what's even funny on top of that was either James or Anita, who was with us, pointed out a a blue bird being that was in the costume. And we sent that to Corey Good straight away.
It was just a
car park, and there was a security mascot for this company or whatever, and it was a blue bird humanoid being dressed up in costume, and I think Anita was you were blue avian or not, and then ended up giving the thumbs up,
and I got a picture next to him, and then Corey Good.
Yeah, we sent it to Corey.
Put it all over Instagram and Facebook.
That's hilarious.
So we've got good energies going on here. It's not all.
It's funny that bird had security written on it. Said security on there. He was like some mascot for some security company.
Yeah, for those that don't know what we're doing down here all together, is we're with the, what do you call it?
Disclosure Down Under. It's HASA. We've got eCity Australia, which, you know, we hooked up a few years ago, and we've been working pretty tight since then, and we're on the same mission, and, you know, we're working with you guys as well. And what I wanted to do is sort of replicate the energy that we had at the ranch earlier, middle of last year, and
July 4th.
And I thought this would be a great, you know, I had the opportunity working with my friends Maddie and AJ, who have helped to make this possible, to bring you guys over, and we're setting up eCity Australia facility soon, an actual self-mastery sort of center where we're going to have conference halls and about 40 cabins as well. There's a bit of work and a lot going into the project, so we can keep doing this for the Australian people, and it's a big opportunity. So we've got Disclosure Down Under, and
it's right on the beach.
Right on the beach, yeah. And it's, you know, I'll just say this, I wish we did have women speakers, and I've got a lot of women friends, female friends in this community, and we're going to be working and helping them get out there, their mission as well. But we did have women help sort this out, and they have been involved behind the scenes. So, you know, I apologise to those that wish that there were women speakers. I can't please everyone. I've sort of got, you know, what I've got as resources at this time when people are available and those sorts of things. But we're really just trying to bring, you know, top quality people that I think have got the, you know, I know have got truth and integrity to bring information and different aspects to the Australian people and the Australian public in sharing this information. And also, I know that you guys have got a lot of followers and people that admire your work around Australia, that this is an opportunity for them to see you in person. And yeah, the tickets are a couple of $100, but you've got 2 days, and there's flights involved, all these different things, and it's, you know, those that can't afford to fly overseas, this is an opportunity for people to come and see people like yourselves in person, and, you know, get the experience as well to see what it is that you guys all do as well as myself. So
It could be live streamed too,
and so it's live streamed as well.
All over the world can live stream this.
It's going to evolve into something much bigger, you know, and be a lot more feminine energy involved and things like that.
And where do people get the live stream stuff? Is it on the
website? They can go to etasa.com, which is etasaa.com, or disclosuredownunder.com.
Okay.
So by the time people are watching this, we're halfway through the Melbourne event, but the week after this, we do have the Sydney event on the weekend as well, and, you know, anyone around the world can watch this live stream. It is, you know, it's being live streamed, so it's great that we've got the technology, which has got, you know, it's a two-edged sword, but it makes it so, you know, the world can see these conferences like we've seen at other conferences that you guys have done. You know, people live stream it, they can't get there, they can be in England, Australia, and they still get a chance to see some stuff that they may not get to otherwise.
And, you know, the footage we have is just unsurpassed. Like, Peter, we were talking earlier, Peter's so good at getting the daylight stuff, and I'm really good at seeing the night stuff, and so together we get the whole enchilada, and so he'll be showing some of his outrageous video and photographs of the ships, and there, you know, you can see detail. These things are whatever they're made of, metal, or what, I don't know what they make them out of, but actually I do, but it's a long story. you can't deny this stuff. I mean, it's the best, he's got some of the best footage on the planet, probably the best footage of real ships on the planet. Not CGI, this is stuff with multiple witnesses, and, you know, the integrity behind this is unsurpassed, but just amazing footage. And that's why, you know, I wanted Peter to create the eCity Australia, you know, because his heart was in the right place and the integrity levels were there. And so that's
also I heard a rumor that Lord Ashtar will be there.
Yeah. Astral Command.
Yeah, actually, everybody's laughing.
But it's weird.
Anyway, I wanted to...
Sorry, I don't want to offend anyone. It's
no.
Just, yeah.
I wanted to thank Peter for getting us out here and also for agreeing to have a sex change because there weren't any women's speakers involved.
So I'll fix that back. I've done the stick. Now I'll get crap for that as well.
Anyway.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Why don't we change the subject?
No, but but there's so much variety here. You know, I mean, like John remote viewing, and then you guys, the vast amount of different things that you guys cover, like anything and everything. But when you do it, it's like boots on the ground. You get stuck into it, and you really research it. You know, somebody like myself that's experiencing things, I've got a lot of evidence, and I'm starting to connect the dots on a very deep, I've sort of gone more conscious based now. I'm not sort of too worried about the UFO or spiritual community, it's sort of coming to like the consciousness and God aspect that we're all one consciousness interacting with ourselves, which, you know, it's led me down. And then James sort of, you know, does the same thing, but he's years ahead. So like between all of us and also Jordan Sather, who can't be involved with this conversation.
Because
like,
he's asleep right now.
We're super jet lagged.
It's just it's such a beautiful wrap up of just so many different aspects that people can make their own conclusions and judgments. It does it in such a, I think, a complementary way that we don't want people to believe us, but, you know, do your research and sort of connect the dots yourself. That's what we're doing, is just providing different information and outlook on things.
Well, also, too, we have to give thanks to the women behind setting up this event.
Exactly.
There's so many women that actually created this event that put their time and energy into it.
Well, and there are more and more women stepping forward to talk about this stuff, and they're going to be more and more involved.
I tell you, the problem I've been having with that is that we've always... really, you know, tried to support the divine feminine and bring in the other females, and so many have been pushed out of ufology because they're in touch with the more spiritual side of it, and they're having contact and much deeper connection with this, and so they're being pushed out of the UFO community. A lot of them quit. A lot of them just
I think it's
this anymore.
It's
sad, you know. So if you know if you're on this path, you know, be sure and get in touch with us if you need an outlet or need support or need help with that. Because,
absolutely.
You know, and there's a lot of crap that people have to put up with, you know, and this, you know, it's been hard for myself at times.
I think
this is
really important. It's like, it's really not easy for anyone to step forward, and it's not easy for women sometimes to step forward in this environment. You know, the criticism can get much worse than it is for...
Especially for the women. Yeah.
Well, you know, the people that talk... I mean, it's going to come out now. It's coming out everywhere. But a lot of the top people in the field of ufology aren't who you think they are. And they don't want this information out. They don't want the spiritual side out.
I won't cough and mention names.
They
want to keep it nuts and bolts and in a way that...
Or in the past.
That suits their agenda. Or, we keep it in Roswell or just these cases that are repeated over and over.
I'm so tired of talking about Roswell.
And then you've got these things happening right now today.
Disclosure, it wants to be controlled. I mean, ultimately, by these people. And what this is about is... having our own disclosure. And it's not us.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody should look to any of us as being leaders of freaking anything.
Yeah.
I mean, we are just people who are helping others.
It's like we're trying to put everything together.
Exactly.
To make it easier for them to understand.
The next generation.
That's the huge difference.
Open the door for the next generation.
Whereas,
and the divine feminine to come out.
And you've got these guys that have put themselves at the head.
Yeah,
you have to listen to me because I have the answer.
Replace one authority figure with another one.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not what we want.
No.
Yeah, it's all about notoriety and the money and the whatever.
Yeah.
And also, too, it's all about planned opposition because a lot of these people who are anti-government are actually working with the government.
Right. Yeah, it's true.
And with the Illuminati, that's pretty well known.
And I think the other aspect of the disclosure thing is that the mainstream people out there are kind of looking to the media as like, well, if anything's going to happen, then I'm going to see it on TV. I'm going to see it on the news. And I think what people have to realize is that that's not where it's going to be. You know, disclosure is really all around us. Yeah. It's just about... You know, it's like taking the effort to do your own research, to look into all these different things. I mean, the amount of videos you guys have alone should just be like, hey, this is what's going on, you know?
But we've had it authenticated by so many sources, but I just want to say quickly too, like, I'll quote John, or something that, like you say, John, is we want people to have their own disclosure.
And
the problem that we see, and I've used this analogy 100 times, but if a magpie, I'll use a magpie, a bird, for those overseas, if you don't know what it is, it's a type of bird. If a magpie comes and lands on your front lawn, should I ring up the police station or the government and go, can you come over here and just tell me if a bird landed on my front lawn? Because I'm not going to believe it until you come and tell me. And so it's an external type of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the problem is that unless an authoritative figure or somebody in a suit comes on the television and tells us something, we don't believe it. And this is where these days people, or some people, aren't taking self-responsibility for thinking outside the box and going outside of the circumference of what their consciousness has been contained in. And it's not their fault either. Yeah. Some of this is, you know, upbringing, social engineering or programming. But it needs to get back to where if each of us live our passion and do what we do and we actually think and we're not afraid to just speak our mind and people just aren't rude, and we've got what we call here in Australia tall poppy syndrome. I've experienced this a lot more than others whether I was a rapper or my past. It's like if you're up here, and it's not that I'm saying I'm up here, but it's like boom, cut them down because you want to bring them back down because they're going outside of what's the norm should be. And
there's a lot of jealousy, a lot of competition, and it shouldn't be there.
And like Albert Einstein said, you know, you can't solve a problem with the same level of consciousness that created it. So we've got to get outside the box and think differently. And that's just some food for thought, you know, that's all I'm saying, is just some food for thought what I just said.
But the stuff we're covering, we're going up to like the 13th dimension on this stuff. And we're dealing with beings that
I'm at the 4,558th dimension.
Yeah.
No,
I just went to the 59th. No, so anyway, it's not a competition. We're just making fun. But what's interesting, and I want to cover this because I have two people that were there at the time, but both Peter and John were there when Ancient Aliens came out.
Mm.
And this is exactly what happens. They come out, you give them all this incredible footage, like things morphing from 1 to 3 back to 1 again, less than treetop level, massive ships coming over, every size, shape, and color. You give them all this evidence, and it all goes on the chopping room floor, gets edited out, sanitized, and they show a little green dot going by.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what happens in all these shows. Yeah.
And then right after, Nick Pope comes on and says, UFOs could be real.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And we gave them, and the thing is, and I wanted to cover this because you guys are there. I sat there and I gave them like an hour plus of answering all the questions they ask every time on these shows. And they cut all of it out, the whole episode filmed at my ranch.
Look, that was really hard to sit and watch too. Oh, and there's no disrespect, Jane. You're like my father, my brother, and my best friend rolled in one, right? And I felt really bad with that. And on top of that, like, I talked to you guys earlier about this. This is sort of stuff I can't go too deep into, but I had opportunities to possibly have had my own show through certain major networks. And when I talk to somebody that was a multi-billionaire, it's like, why haven't you done this, this, and this? And it's like, well, I've got the metal, I've got everything to prove to a certain extent, like whether it's the isotopic ratio of metal samples, I've got all these different things. I don't have the money. I'm trying to live and get through this.
Yeah.
But we could have, like, even with Ancient Aliens, we handed to them on a silver platter everything you could possibly want. And I think something you said, John, if you don't mind me, like, you said something to me one day where it's like, with these shows, unfortunately, they can't have a conclusion because that sort of like ends the show. It's like they want to keep a mystery. Mm-hmm. And the problem is these organisations have so much power that if they were responsible, we could really uplift the consciousness of the people by showing them slowly the evidence and the real information, but they don't want to go there. And even that 2 days filming, I told them I had an experience with a rainbow iridescent feline beam, and it told me what time and location that beam was going to appear, where it was. I told you, you remote viewed the same thing. That wasn't shown. It was something else was shown. Nick Pope even on camera vouched for me, but none of it made it. So what I'm saying is, basically all three of us knew when and where the crafts were going to appear, how they were going to appear, which we couldn't have known unless we had contact.
Right.
Yeah. And it wasn't shown.
Right. Yeah. And we've been doing that redundantly.
And you've been doing that
with ABC, way longer than Fox News, all these guys have come out.
I did it with Italy.
The network.
I was flying to Italy.
Edge of Wonder TV.
But I was flying to Italy for Japanese TV, did it, and I wasn't even shown on the thing the craft was.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and with the with the ancient aliens stuff, like I'm not going to mention any names, but recently I was talking to somebody who did appear on the show, and he was like, you know, I gave them so much information, and then they just kind of cherry pick out of context, even
stuff that'll support their agenda.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's the same agenda we hear every episode.
So it's not about
the ancient aliens have been behind this craft.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Gary?
So it's not about education.
Right.
They're about entertainment.
Yeah. Okay,
it's all entertainment.
And keep the questions going.
Yeah.
Keep the suspense. The actual
show is the filler between the commercials, and that's what I think about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
get you to buy stuff.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
But you know what you guys have put together. This, like, even now, it's turning into a, you know, you're going deeper and bigger, and you know things are growing. But what you guys have done in just the last couple of years alone, and the material Edge of Wonder have covered, like, that is. It's something that it's a go-to for me. Mm. You know, pretty much.
Thank you very much.
I'm learning so much.
I saw your show and I go, thank God. I can retire. I can get off the dartboard now.
Yeah, it really is a weird feeling.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, something that, you know, because one of the flacks that we're getting is like, who are these guys? Where did they come from? You know, but I mean, we've been into this for years.
I'm another aspect of your own consciousness.
I think what's weird for both of us is that, you know, we're also been fans of what you guys have all been doing too.
For years,
So it's just kind of weird to hear that, like, wow, like, you guys are watching us, you know, and everything. So, you know.
Yeah, I meet these people and they go, are you James Gunn? I go, yeah. And they go, man, I'm your greatest fan. I go, who are you? And they tell me their name. I go, I'm your greatest fan. Like this, I go, I've been following your work too. You know, it's like hilarious, you know, watching it. So it's just like, and I think there's a camaraderie and a deep respect for people who are authentic.
Yeah,
and they're really bringing the information out, coming from the heart. There is this family connection, and that authenticity is the bond. And that's what we're doing right now. We're all being authentic. We're doing things in our own unique way. We're bringing this information out, and we're doing it in a way that, like, you guys are totally entertaining when you do it. But you really get the stuff out.
And that new stuff that you, those docos,
the documents,
like that, that quality. Like, even in general, it's like TV quality, but the quality of that is like motion picture. Like, so it's not only this. You got the information, but the quality is like at the quality that anyone could watch it, and the way that it's unraveled in front of you is digestible to somebody that, even if they're not into it and they were open-minded enough to watch it, it could really red pill them in a positive way, to where it's providing certain aspects or information or leads for them to go down. And that is, you know, people like David Wilcox done awesome work with that and others. And, you know, the more people that are doing it like yourselves, it's digestible. That's the problem that I even had as an experience. I'm wondering what the hell was going on with me. Yeah. And the beings are giving me information, but then I'm going, all right, how do I learn about this or understand it? Because like I know now, they will give me information, and my level of consciousness isn't evolved enough to understand some of the concepts until 2, 3, 4, 5 years later. And then I go, now I get it. But stuff like this can really leapfrog people exponentially forward so quick.
Or relaying that to the masses.
That's what I mean.
Even harder.
Yeah, and that's like, what I do.
Yeah, they kept telling me, like, I'd be meditating and Babaji would come in and he said, you know, you're watering seedlings with a fire hose, you know, and you tell people to chill out. It's too much.
Yeah.
You're just like rapid fire and all this, you know, going into all these dimensions and everything.
That's the thing, too, is I think, you know, you and I were talking about this. It's like street smarts, right? Like when, or maybe it was John. Sorry, it was John. We were talking about how, you know, when you've gone through the red pill process, like I red pilled when I was 19. That was like 20 years ago, right? And it took me years to stabilize and to be able to like actually like talk, figure out how to talk to people in a way that wasn't going to set them off or put them against me or think you were crazy.
You need to go in a mental hospital.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing is like, you know, with our show, we don't want to be right. We just want to present information and get people thinking.
Yeah.
And for it, even recently, people are starting to say like, oh, they're deep state funded and all this. So why am I not rich? I am not deep state. We are not deep state funded. And when the deep state falls and we're still producing episodes, you will have, I mean, the evidence will be right there, right? But it's like just, you know.
I hear the same thing. They go, I hear this stuff like, I mean, I've heard everything. They've called me every name in the book, but they go, yeah, he's Illuminati because his last name is Gilliland. And it starts with G, and that's Illuminati symbol.
Oh, my God.
And they just go on and on with all this stuff, and I go, are you kidding me? I said, I've been exposing them for like 30-something years and going after all the pedophile stuff and all the other crap that's going on. I've been doing that for 30 years, and then people start accusing you of being it.
Yeah.
And you're going, are you serious? Like, have you watched any of the work, anything I've been doing over these years? And they don't. They just hear one person throw out some stupid rumor or come to some assumption, and then all of a sudden that goes like, what? And I love that old saying, you know, that they said the lie is spread, gone twice around the world before the truth has had time to tie its shoes, you know? And unfortunately, that's a thing. But I found out something from Plagia. Plating came to me once, and we were getting totally hammered by the International UFO Reporting Center. I won't mention any names, but and they were just totally trashing everything. And witnesses were calling in and going, I'm a school teacher, and I just saw these ships land on the mountain. Whoa. And he goes, well, tell me when the little green men come out and hang it up on them and stuff like that. I go, this is the UFO Reporting Center, International, what the hell, you know? And so all this stuff is going on, and then they were saying, oh, I sent engineers up there. And they proved all they're seeing is satellites. And then I got the report of the engineer, and they said, these are unknown. I have no idea what they were. They're anomalous. They came towards me. It got bigger and bigger and bigger and stopped and went back towards the mountain again. She goes, they're making right angle turns at several thousand miles an hour. That was the report. And when it got past this other guy, he goes, oh, yeah, she confirmed it was meteors and satellites. And that's the stuff we deal with all the time, and that's the nonsense that's going around. But Legit told me, she said, just keep cataloging it. She said, just keep cataloging the stuff, the emails, all the other stuff. Keep cataloging it. And then finally, towards the end, there was so much stuff. I had these other UFO investigators came up, and they said that this guy's files are corrupt, you know, and the stuff he's doing and everything else. And she said, okay, release it. Release all the information. And so I did, and I asked, well, why couldn't I do it before? And she said, because the negative, unfortunately, moves so fast, and everybody jumps on the drama, the gossip, and all that crap, unfortunately, because of all the sitcoms and so on.
Why things work,
Yeah, and she said, you can use it to your advantage. You know, you create a drama, everybody's going to get involved, and it's going to bring all this attention, and then people are going to go see for themselves.
Interesting.
And that's exactly what happened. It was so weird because I learned you can use it. Rather than be offended by it, you just catalog it. And then you can use it. Look, this is what happened. And I have a few people in my sites that I might release a lot of what they've said and done. But I've been holding back on it because I really don't want to go there. But if they get too nasty, then I kind of go, well, this is what this person's really about, you know.
Yeah, this isn't all, you know, peaches and cream, like. I know that all of us have had some, you know, I know that we've had our lives spread off, being shot at, surveillance, I know that everyone's had something going on, but I want the people to remember what keeps us going, you know, is the passion that we've got, and to me, I know that if I die tomorrow, that I've done the best I can with what I knew, and it's not shoving it down people's throats what I know, but putting it out there that this is the most important subject, not UFOs, but I'm saying everything that each one of us cover, like John, he shows the human potential of what humans can do. You guys, the information, everything ran together. Me, from my experiences and what, again, humans can do. Same with you, James. It's like these things combined, and what Jordan's doing as well, and Corey and David and all these different people, you combine it all together. This is the most important situation going on for humanity, knowing the power that we've got, each and every single, you know, each and every single one of us have got. And what my key message is at the moment is that we're in the darkness stage before the light shines again. And I want that light to shine, not from outside of us, but from inside of us, that light that each and every single one of us have got. And that is a journey in its own. But individually and a collective, it's got two parts to it. And that's what keeps me going on, is knowing that through all the crap that I've especially put up the last couple of years, and those close to me know that, it's like, that's what keeps me going on, is that when I die, I know I don't actually die, I know that this is just a meat suit, but I go, I can say to the councils and the dudes I'm working
with, I did my best,
I did all I could, you know, and that's it.
That's all that matters.
That's doing your part, and I know that this is just a speck of sand, you know, in the big scheme of things.
I
was just going to say, with Peter, you know, it's so fascinating because your background is so interesting. You know?
Yeah.
You were like this gang member, like you were hardcore, you know, you became a rapper. It's like, you know,
EMS 13.
Yeah, EMS 13. Yeah, said one day, I'm going to get you a... And he didn't even know what PMS was. Sorry, Stepdad. But yeah, he said, I want to get your initials put on a number plate for you. And my mum's like...
Honey,
yeah.
Don't want to do that.
But I was going to say the... what was I going to say? I was talking about the... We were talking about all the stuff that we've gone through. But everybody goes, why... You know, like, I was dealing with all these yogis that are teaching these yoga classes, and they're young people, and they go, what do UFOs have to do with yoga or spirituality? And I go, have you read the ancient Vedic scriptures?
Hello!
They're all through there, you know, all these guys you're praying to and doing your stuff, and that taught you all these moves and everything came from the stars. It all goes back to the stars. And so, really, to know our real history, the real history of Earth, the origins of humanity, and know about anti-gravity, counter-gravity, fearless energy, healing technologies beyond our imagination. Why would we not want to engage that and bring that here?
It doesn't make any sense. Like, why not?
And the only thing, it's a threat to all those who capitalize on the war and the disease and everything else. Those groups are very anti this coming out. And people need to realize that. That's the real, what's going on. The reason you have the giggle factor and the censorship and everything else is because these guys have the fearless energy. They have the anti-gravity, the counter-gravity. They've got the med beds. They have the technology to heal energetically, you know, and so...
It's a hard situation. Like, I know that, you know, through what Shiji's relayed to me is that they can't just jump in as well. Like, this is something that we have to earn ourselves.
Exactly.
And it's not a cop-out. Sometimes it feels like it's a cop-out when we've got these fires going on and shootings happening and these earthquakes and, you know, certain disasters. But we can't be codependent on them and they can't be codependent on us.
Yeah.
And it's a tricky situation. And it's just... But we do have these potentials. I know these... Like, the technologies that I'm interacting with most of the time aren't even nuts and bolts. It's consciousness-based technologies where... They're in their light body, and they can come into my field and teleport me somewhere else. And to people that don't understand, they think it's a flying saucer land, a little green dude get out.
Yeah.
These things sort of, you know, they do exist. I'm not saying they don't. I've got material. I've seen this. But what I'm saying is, a majority of the time, these conscious-based technologies and beings, like, they break down to an electron and just bang out somewhere else. Like, this is so far advanced from the lower races, and it's not putting them down either, that... densities or dimensions above us, but there is so much variety out there.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, I'd have to say 1% of what I'm interacting with, or not even, is extraterrestrial. The stuff, the realms that I go to in the place is like, I think...
Like trans-dimensional.
Yeah, and it's hard because, you know, I've had you and other people say to me, I'm almost like at the end of the alphabet and these people are at A, B and C. And I can't go backwards, and I just hope I articulate enough, but... eventually people get the point of view that the other aspects, and it's not a competition, it's just we're all at different stages, but we've got to do this ultimately ourselves, you know, individually and as a collective. It's a very tricky situation, especially what we're up against.
Yeah, I want to hear from John. I mean, you've had some amazing remote viewing out there, and you've gone into the multidimensional aspect, even the ancient connections to all this. I'd love to hear some of what you've experienced.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, you know, the whole... Okay, so those lights on the mountain is the most intriguing thing to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've looked at so many different things, but I always go back to that just because it was an aha moment that I had with you, because a lot of our data... Well, first off, the viewers were describing these lights as Vimanas, chariots, this type of language, which they don't normally use when we remote view alien stuff. It's more about anti-gravity and, you know, collecting genetic materials in order to survive.
So a little bit more physical base?
Yes, a little more physical base. I mean, there is a dimensional construct as well, but it's more physical based, and this is not physical based. So, you know, the aha moment for me was these lights, when they form, they form in a star-shaped pattern. Like, you know, looking at this data and wondering why do they do that? Why do they form in the star-shaped pattern? And there's a feline being associated with these lights creating it. And so taking that to you, you're like, well, that's a Merkaba. I'm like, okay, a Merkaba. What the... It's a Merkaba.
I don't know. Yeah. No Merkaba either.
Right. Right. So going down that rabbit hole is absolutely fascinating. Because when you go into the ancient texts, they talk about the Merkaba being the chariot. So the Merkaba and the chariot is interchangeable.
It's a light vehicle.
Right? It's a light vehicle. And it's the light vehicle that carries the god, right? Mm-hmm. And the lion is one of those beings that pulls the chariot, that creates the Merkaba. And this is in the...
And protects who's in the Merkaba.
And protects who's in the Merkaba and protects the gate to heaven, mm-hmm. right? I mean, here you're talking about the... Bible, biblical type stuff.
The Lion of Judea.
I mean, I was never. I'm not religious. I didn't grow up that way. So for me, it was this really interesting education on that text, right? You know, and so you know, you've got Ezekiel's wheel as well, which is the same thing. It's a chariot. These are UFO incidences, but they're of a higher order. They're of a higher vibration of beings that are existing in another realm that are coming through into our place. And your place there is one of those doorways.
It's a huge gateway.
And, you know, I think when you were out there, you saw in the mountain, and it's the stuff that we saw. Mm-hmm.
That's what a lot of, and everyone was coming up to me and was like, wow, you guys saw the, like, you know, because you guys were seeing the exact same thing.
And you had no idea.
I had no idea at all. So, and to me, that was also confirmation for me, because I was like, wow, you know, and what I was really seeing was really there, and so it kind of helped me understand.
And this is beyond the stuff that we're experiencing. You've got to rise to the occasion to experience. Yeah. It's not like somebody goes, prove to me that there's a multidimensional thing happening here. And you're going, well, you don't have any reference points.
No.
That's the next level of stuff I'm talking about. The physical is... This is the stuff that I'm mainly interacting with and seeing.
Right.
And this is the stuff that I understand. If people, they can't go from A to Z with this because you've got to be weaned into it.
Well, here's the other issue. Okay, so, you know, you talk about the gods of old, right? I mean, from what we've seen with remote viewing, the gods of old, from the Hindu to the biblical gods, whatever, they are actual beings, and they're separate beings. They're different beings.
Yeah.
And the problem that we have here on Earth is that when you have one of these gods come through, all of a sudden you're on your knees and you're like, this is a god and I am beneath you, right? And we can't meet them on that level anymore. We have to realize our own God self, that we are one, we are source. And then we have to meet them on an even playing field. And I think that's really the huge thing.
The
fear actually
happens inside of us.
When
you go inside of yourself... and have that contact, the only way it can happen is if you are it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that can't happen.
Well, you couldn't experience if it wasn't within you.
Right.
That's the whole thing.
It's the whole thing.
But if you don't realize, like Buddha's talking about, you know, the whole universe is within you. Well, if it wasn't within you, you couldn't experience it.
You couldn't.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Well, I think the key thing is, like, this is one thing we really try to do on the show, is it's like, my belief is why we're here, is to really have that experience. Like, we're here to search that within ourselves. And, you know, when people are like, well, I'll see it when I believe it. And it's like, well, you're not going to see it.
Right.
Because you're not going to see it. It starts with
the, well, the brain doesn't work that way.
You know, you need to turn on something else inside.
Yeah, the brain, the way the brain works is that your eyes are picking up billions of bits of information, and your brain chooses out of all that information what's going to be your reality. Mm-hmm. And this is neuroscience, they know this. And so you have to believe it and have it within your reality so you can see it. Yeah. It's actually the opposite.
It is.
But we've been programmed, well, I'll believe it when I see
right.
it.
Right.
Well, that, you just killed your whole program.
There. Well, yeah. And I think the other thing, too, is like people are looking for like a, you know, I want to see like a being in front of me or whatever, and they don't realize that everything in their life is there for a reason. Like, you know, seeing, they may see, no, like, for me, it started out with like seeing small things, coincidence, seeing the same numbers or something like that, you know. These are the things that are really important, like the signs, because once, as soon as they start realizing that and have that thought,
it keeps opening.
It will keep getting bigger. Bigger things will happen, and then it's like they will believe more and everything
else. Yeah, I think like people should challenge. Like, I wish more people would challenge themselves with this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of what happens is there's so many practical people out there that will see certain signs. Like, the universe is always showing you signs. If you're open to seeing them, you'll see them. If you're practical, you'll think, oh, it's ridiculous to think that that's, just a coincidence, this
I'm
and that. Yeah, or whatever.
Yeah.
But really, just what harm can come from taking a step back and starting to recognize those things and then wondering whether, just for a moment, whether there could be something bigger behind that. And even that right there is enough, is like a catalyst for all kinds of amazing things to start happening in your life.
Right.
It can lead to so much more happiness to know that there's an intelligence out there, something that is,
that loves you and you're not alone, and you're, they're always there if you invite them into your space.
It's coming back to the heart too. Like, we only see a fraction of the visible light spectrum, which is only a tiny part of 0.005% of physical matter. And what I want to add here too is, even with some of the Pleiadians, Orion, Sirius, a ridiculous amount that I've experienced, that I know that I've recently just become public with just about 30 drawings, and people are just thinking I'm full of crap. Like, the stuff that happens to me that's been remote viewed, tested, everything is crazy, but these beings are actually doing what we're doing in another dimension, meaning they haven't ascended yet either, but they're on the soul journey we're on here of reconnecting. They're actually on it too, and that's what blew me out.
Part
was
of
just like
helping us, helping them.
This is really important.
They're not enlightened gods.
It's really, really important.
Yeah,
because as a human, we have this construct within ourselves where we can come to enlightenment. Whereas in other realms, they don't have it so much.
Yeah.
Because when you're in a God realm,
you're already enlightened.
But you're not necessarily enlightened. You're more happy with the state that you're in.
Exactly.
So there's no need to be enlightened.
You don't have the hardship.
Right,
go
exactly.
All of that.
So because we have that juxtaposition, that suffering and that striving, they look to us.
Yeah, they told me that. I said, do you see us? Like monkeys down here and the stuff we're doing? They said, no, we've had our evolutionary path. We've gone through all this stuff. And they said, we're in total awe of what you're doing. We could not walk through those energies and those challenges. They are so intense, so heavy.
Right.
We're not used to that kind of energy. And we're like in total awe that you're still functioning down there. And it's a different.
Yeah.
And there's an old saying that, you know, the bravest of angels are the ones who came to Earth to incarnate. And it's a challenge, because you get emotions and free will.
Right.
And even in the Bible it says you cannot become a Christ until you're born of the flesh.
Right.
You've got to come all the way through this dimension and
back up,
which are the archangels or the Andromedans. They already went all the way through here and back.
Right.
And they're some of the most powerful beings on the planet, because they went through all the dimensions of Source, mastered them, and went back to the next level.
Right.
But I think it's something really important about this time. Like, ever since I was a little kid, I just knew that something, this is this is the, we're in the end times, and I think everybody human now, especially people that are aware and awake, it's like everyone is of such, they don't realize how special they
and this,
are.
This chaos isn't a bad thing, because all these things that we're seeing now, becoming aware of, we're always there. It's that we're rising up to the, it's all coming to the surface for us to look at, to heal and change it. And nobody's getting out of this. There's no free ticket out of this, because we got to release the past, heal, raise our frequencies to get through these times. And I know there's people that are resisting their own healing, resisting releasing the past. They want to hold on to grudges. They want to keep the fear of it happening again, you know, and they want to hold on to all that energy. If I don't, if I release this, then it's going to happen to me again, you know, so I got to hang on to this. And that the energy is coming in so strong right now, you can't, we don't have the luxury of holding on to the past or the wounds and the traumas and the things, because
but you know, for people who are
coming in hot and heavy,
for people who are stuck on this particular subject, like, it's okay if you're having a hard time directly letting go of some kind of resentment or anger that you have towards someone. Sometimes the way to deal with that isn't to just directly say, hey, I'm going to let this go, but it's to, in other parts of your life, try to become the being that you were meant to be. By being more selfless in all these other parts of your life, eventually it loosens up all of this other stuff, and then that thing that you were having a hard time with, all of a sudden is just easy.
Let I want to add to that too. That is perfect, because I'm telling you now, like, just from my own experience, and this is for us as individually and as a collective, what I've got to say, which is, I'm still young, I'm still a puppy, I'm 36, but what I've learned recently in the last few years is that we only thrive and grow when we get out of our comfort zone. And what stops us from doing that is fear. And what is it the fear of? It's fear of the unknown and what's going to happen. You know, that's what it is. And it's okay, that fear. Like, years ago, I left my hometown with $500. I sold everything, left with $500. I went up to Queensland. I lived near Mary Rodwell. And I was just like, look, if I screw up, what's the worst that's going to happen? Like, really, after everything I've been through, what's the worst that can happen? Now I've been around the world, I've helped thousands of people, and I've had experiences and done things that I never thought I'd leave Australia, do the things that I've done, all because I just looked at the fear and gone, really, what's the worst that's going to happen? And so, like, my message with this as well is that it's okay to be fearful and scared, but you've got to make that leap to get out of your comfort zone, because that's when we're thriving and we grow. And mysterious and wonderful things beyond our wildest imagination can be installed for us when we follow that. I don't know, you know, anything or everything. The more that I learn, I just look at it and go, I just don't know what's going on. But I know what I do know, and that's one thing that I do know, is that when we get out of that comfort zone, amazing things can be installed for you.
Human suffering.
And the fear of death, that's the biggest, the fear of death. But when you've died a couple of times, you don't have the fear of death, and everything else is gravy after that. You know, you go, yeah, I'm going to kill you. Ah, cool, I've already been there, you know. It's like,
I've done it a million times.
Been there, done that. You know, it's like, nothing to fear on that one, you know. So.
But that's just something that I've learned, like, I'll really analyze that. And that's what it is, I think. You know, whether it's relationships or getting a new job or buying a new house or whatever it is, even though there's a lot of these traps, you know, with those things. But what I'm saying is that, you know, you never know what's in store for you when you just make that leap. You know, and it's okay to be fearful. It's part of the human conditioning and the human experience. But, you know,
well, the external factor too is so hard, because everybody's looking for love, acceptance, and approval outside of themselves. We've been programmed. All the media, everything is programmed to do that. And you're not going to ever be sovereign or happy until you find it within. And that's the main thing people need to do, is go within, make your own personal connection with Source. You find out you've never been judged, you're loved unconditionally, and you go, if Source loves me, then, you know, these other people don't really matter, and you can love them unconditionally because you don't need anything from them. And the only reason anybody has any power over you is because you need something from them, you want something from them. And when you find that within, then all this other stuff just falls away, and that's where we all need to get. We need to get into that space where everything's funny.
Yeah, you know, Ben and I were talking about this the other day, but Alexander the Great, he conquered, like, I mean, he conquered the whole world, basically, right? I mean, the Western civilization, he had conquered the entire thing. And then when he was on his deathbed, he, like, there's so many quotes from that time where he's like, don't do what I did. Like, yeah. Wealth means nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, material things don't give you substance in your life. Right. Don't follow what I did. It was like his entire life was to come to the conclusion that those things were meaningless. And so what...
That was conquering himself.
Yeah, and like, what do people out there, what do we have to lose? Like, even if you have one day left or several days left or years left of your life before your death, do good. You'll be a better person. You'll feel better, you know.
Doing what they're passionate about is a way that they can be of service.
Find your unique soul.
It's actually really true. Yeah.
Everybody has a unique soul purpose, but everybody wants us to wear robes and sandals and be a carpenter, basically.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's electricians.
You do all that, Carl Muckett. You're a carpenter, wear sandals in a row. But it's just you.
I know,
it's not that you're trying to be Jesus. It's just actually you.
I do electrical, I do ditch digging.
That's the thing people don't understand at the ranch, you know, you'll help clean a toilet or you'll build cabins or you do
You know? Whatever needs to get done. We're hitting the end of the hour, unfortunately, but it's been awesome having all you guys from the on the show and sharing things from your own perspective. And,
It's been good. Thanks for having us on here.
This is the ultimate bromance going on.
Thanks for having us out here.
It's really touched me that you guys are out here, and I hope you enjoy it.
And you might, a lot of people watching this are probably wondering what's going on with the fire situation.
Yeah.
So maybe you want to talk about it for a second.
We're very short on time, but what I'll say is that I think it's a very bad situation. I think it's been put worse and worse because it's just keep on being repeated. I think people just need their fire apps, meaning like the same news is going. You know how news can just amplify things.
Yeah,
It's bad. I'm not denying it's really bad.
Like, but it's not affecting any of the gatherings that we're having.
No, but I had to leave my home. People don't know where I'm based. I'm not sort of saying at the moment, but I actually had to leave my home, and I don't know what's going to happen. And I've just got that place as well. But, you know, a lot of, you know, we've had deaths, people are hurting. I hope to delve into this more in future with some of the stuff that I do know. But just
pray for rain. Everybody
I want you to visualize the land getting green and replenishing and just not disaster. If you can do anything, just even 2 minutes of visualizing a paradise here, not just for Australia, but the world, I think is what we can say at the moment. And it is a bad situation, and... Yeah, I wish I could say more because there's a lot to it that I can sort of put in a couple of minutes. But our hearts go out to everyone out there. Really, it's you know, and I know the California going
to you.
And how, and also too, how can people get in touch with they want to watch the show, the live stream, your event?
Yeah, just disclosuredownunder.com. It's HASSAETASAA.com, and they could, by the time you're watching this, you can get to the Sydney live stream as well. Yeah, so.
And we got Edge of Wonder TV coming up.
EdgeOfWonder.tv and
RightHemisphere.com.
And he said Australia.org as well. Right. And pretty much just Slattery.com. So.
Alright, we're out of time, folks.
CMS.com.
I should get that now.
Keep an open mind. Love you, North. That's all you need. Have a great evening. Good night.
Bye, guys.